What is it? From Amy? Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had kind of care for a little bit today. Yarrow and Larry bailed and went fishing.
I found a mistake on this. So the first top box is what I kind of get from search in some sense. I do have a mistake. We actually have 154 tests taken. That was a typo on my part, and 144 negatives. So we've taken 154 tests in Gustavus and have 144 negative results, one positive. We have 10 pending out there, and one of that positive is a non-resident case. The graph that you see below that is all of the testing that we've been doing at the airport. This is a total of, I've been learning how to do Excel charts. It's been pretty fun. But that's a total of 336 tests that have been performed. And the first three, the 47%, 22%, and the 13% are all people that came into Gustavus with a test. Some of the 22%, 72 people were pending, that 72 hours pending. But from what I know in my meetings and what I've been hearing from other communities, I really want to thank our charter operators and operations for making everybody as much as possible come in with those tests 72 hours in advance. I've heard stories of communities in Southeast Alaska that have had local charter operators telling their clients not to test at all and to just take the gamut at saying they're going to quarantine and put them out fishing and do all that. Law enforcement's checking in on all of that now, but I just really want to thank you guys for pushing to get those 72-hour tests. One other thing, because I know some of you guys are listening out there, if you guys have private planes coming in like we've had over the last couple days, please call me or Tim Sunday, either one, so that we can schedule getting those travel declaration forms and making sure that all your people are tested as you guys arrive into the community from out of state, have your clients arrive in. So please get a hold of us at least a couple days so that we could schedule it, would be even better. So anyways, questions for me, I'm more than happy to try to give you an answer.
Okay, council questions. Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Nice chart, Travis. Can we get a copy of it once you correct that first test results box?
Of course. My plan is to, I just figured out how to do these labels on the bottom of the, in the legend. I figured out Phoebe kind of taught me that the other day and I finally roped it in today. And my plan is to, now that I have figured out how to do this, is to make sure that this gets published is most likely every Monday. That's when I get the top box also. So I'll update them every Monday at a minimum through our website and through all that. I just got this done today, but it'll always be out there and as current as possible. So yes, is the short answer.
Okay, thank you, Travis. Any other questions for Travis from the council? Okay, thanks, Travis. Next is the library. Bree, are you going to do it, or is okay?
I'm
looks
yeah,
like
I'm
you're
going
to do it, Bree. Go ahead.
I'm here. I just had my buttons all wonky. So not super comfortable on the Zoom yet, but here we go. You can see that our stats are about half of what they usually are. We've got this new software for actually counting Wi-Fi sessions. So you can see that was added. That's kind of some new data that we've got. And you can see how many people are logging on in the month of June. It's kind of amazing. So at least people are using that, and that's great because that's what it's there for. Jen has been working really hard. She's trying to limit her hours to 25 a week. But, you know, just a lot of work. But people are utilizing the library, and we love it. So keep emailing and calling us for sure. We can help with anything. If you have any questions, just if you see me on the road, people stop me on the road all the time. You can call Jen when she's there from noon to five is usually when she's in. And she's got help from her three summer interns. So they might come in and reshelve books. They might, in fact, I think I checked in some books and they're going to wipe them down and reshelve them. They're definitely working on summer reading. And I think that Jen's 4th of July kit was a big hit that she left outside, and then participants could go pick it up and, you know, respond digitally, which I think is kind of fun. We don't have any plans just yet to reopen, but we're, of course, we're thinking about it, and we still have the necessary things coming in the mail. Ordering cleaning supplies is a lot harder, and I was just in Juneau last week, and you can see that they're on the shelves there. So I almost would say if anybody needs stuff, that would be where to get it from, because it's so very hard to order things, and the thing I still can't get are wipes, which we can make ourselves, I guess. But and then North Star Optical did contact us. And so if the travel restrictions are still the same, they're going to come in and do vision checks one at a time in the library. And so Jen and I won't be there, and no one will have access to the library, but they are going to come in and they will do their service that they do every year. And, you know, they'll clean up afterwards or bring all their necessary cleaning things. So if you do need that, I think you contact the clinic and they'll set you up with the information and or an appointment. I think that starts the 23rd. And let's see. Oh yeah, we've been talking again about the test proctoring that needs to happen. I know I've gotten at least four requests for driver's tests. And so we're getting really close to that. I'm hoping that we can do it soon, like maybe next week. So we have tents coming from Home Depot. And so we have some outdoor benches we'll set up in the tents. And the Wi-Fi is there, of course, and I can meet people outside and we can do our testing out there. As the season goes on and it gets colder, that might be harder for the college students who have tests that go on to maybe 3 hours sometimes. So hopefully by then we will have appointment library usage. And we've ordered study carrels for the computers so that they can all be spaced out and cleanable. We might put three in the meeting room. So those are all on the way, as well as all of our other stuff. I am not, Jen put this in there, I'm not going to really talk about how I have resigned from my position, but if anybody has any questions, you can come see me, give me a call. Let's move on. Let's see. Jen's still working with some money she got from a small grant. She's doing some art-related projects for the library that way. And we've got our public library assistance, which is where the $7,000 that we get every year that pay for the majority of the books. Phoebe's gonna let me know when that's in the bank. It's been approved though. We have renewed the custodial. Brenna's awesome. She's doing a great job. And let's see. So the existing projects, the reason for the tent and the outdoor things like that, you know, we're just not ready to open yet, but we just didn't get that bike shed done. And that probably would have helped us a little bit with that. But due to the scenario one budget shift, that's on hold still. The roof I believe I have the right information here, that we're reworking the RFQ. And we'll put that out again. And I already talked to you about the Wi-Fi software. We've been doing online trainings, of course, with all the libraries across the nation, mainly Alaska, but Jen and I pop into anything that's relevant, especially how people are running their libraries down south. And when I was in Juneau, the Valley Library had 3 days off. So they were open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then they had 3 days to, you know, clean and, you know, the whole, the quarantine thing. So that seems like a doable also system. I did talk to Mark Berry about the filters, the HVAC, because we have a, you know, the nice air system to keep the moisture out from the books. And so the research that I kind of was looking at was saying, you, if you pull in the air from the outside, of course, that's much better than recirculating it, which we've never recirculated it. It's all fresh air coming in and being filtered. He is not aware yet of any better filter than what we've got. So that's good news and maybe money we don't have to spend on that. New budget year, yay, all good. I don't know. And there's a nice picture of Katie Ortega, one of our awesome interns. She's doing a great job, and so is Torin and Serena. So any questions, let me know.
Okay, thank you, Bree. Council, any questions for? Looks like no questions, Bree. Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there. And hey, thanks for all your service to the community as well as the library, one of the librarians there. We appreciate you a lot.
It's been my favorite job of all time, which I don't think I can talk about it publicly, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. And hopefully I can come back in a few years.
Okay, I don't want to get all mopey and choky here. So we're gonna go on to Phoebe, and she's got some information for us on quarterly and our monthly financials. So anyway, Phoebe.
I'm ready. So we are in our new fiscal year, FY21. We closed out fiscal year 20 on June 30th with good news, carrying over what I think is going to be about $95,000 surplus to help us out with our FY21 not as rosy picture. So that was good news. Well, those numbers will continue to be finalized over the next couple months as the last bills come in. And so we'll keep getting updated reports in the quarterlies for a couple more months before we finish that up. Our FY21 budget will be ready to adjust that. Maybe next month we'll introduce an MCO. But we'll be able to reduce our budget deficit additionally by removing the payroll for the fire chief, payroll and benefits for the July through December period, as those will be eligible for CARES Act reimbursement instead. So that will also help with our FY21 budget. It'll just be kind of evolving over the next months as the picture continues to change in that department. We did receive our first deposit of our CARES Act relief funds that we're eligible for on June 18th. And the council has been working hard at work sessions and general meetings on how to allocate some of those funds. And that process will be ongoing at upcoming work sessions as well. I submitted the reports for March, April, and May for a total of almost $34,000, mostly for payroll and benefits for the fire chief for March through May, and then also some other staff hours and some supplies. And so we have not heard back from the state yet if those are approved or not, but that process is underway. And I've listed here some other things that have been earmarked so far for the CARES Act funds, and that plan will be evolving as we continue to have meetings and new ideas and more information. We have tonight an NCO up for public hearing that will transfer the initial deposit out of our checking account and into a new Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool account, one of our AMLIP accounts. This will make all the transactions coming out of these funds a lot cleaner for any audits or things like that later, and we'll be able to see exactly where we're at if it's just in its own account. And so those funds, after the NCO goes through, those funds will be transferred to this new AMLIP account, and then as reports are approved by the state, we'll do NCOs to withdraw those funds back to our checking account as our expenses are reimbursed. And all these CARES Act funds must be spent by December 31st of this year. There'll be two more smaller payments that can be released after the 80% of the prior payment is spent. Also here, I mentioned the airport screening contract that we have with the state of Alaska, the fastest contract we will ever have with the state of Alaska. They announced their updated health mandate on June 3rd, and by the afternoon of June 5th, we had a contract in place to provide greeters and screeners to meet the jet the next day, Saturday, June 6th. We've hired 5 part-time temporary employees that are meeting all of the jets coming in. All the passengers coming in, excuse me, that have this as have Gustavus as their initial port of entry into the state per the health mandate. So that contract goes through the end of August, unless the state extends it. And I submitted our first billing for that also for the June expenses. The endowment fund grants are moving along. The Gustavus Community Center has completed theirs. And so the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition grants, the only one still underway for this grant cycle. Once the statement comes out for our endowment fund for the end of the fiscal year, I'll calculate the amount available for the next grant cycle, and that'll be announced at the general meeting on August 10th. And also on the agenda tonight is our annual review of the endowment fund's asset allocation. So that'll be discussed later under the new business. And I just mentioned capital projects that are still kind of on hold, except for ones that were underway prior to this year. So there's still a few things going on that you'll see, but no new projects are underway until the financial picture kind of clears. And then I put in here at the end our my little plug about continuing to brainstorm and try to come up with a solution for funding our road maintenance funds now that our national forest receipts that we had surplus from previous years are running out in our savings account. That's all I have for this part. And then the monthly financials are included in here in the packet also with the end of the fiscal year and the profit and loss and the balance sheet and things like that if anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Phoebe. Is there any questions for Phoebe from the council? Okay, doesn't look like we have any questions for you, Phoebe. Thanks. Great report. And great work on closing out this year as well. It's good news to have that little bit of surplus to help us next year, or this year actually, fiscal 21. Okay, next is City Administrator. Tom, do you want to go ahead?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Good evening. First, I'd like to thank staff again for all the great work they're doing during our Zoom meeting procedures. It's difficult to accumulate the interactions and put them on paper and circulate them, whereas before we could meet and talk about things. So those are some of the challenges staff is faced with, and they're doing an excellent job. And of course, that extends to the council members. So it's not easy having to do everything via email and phone when before they could swing by the office and talk to Phoebe, Karen, or myself, and be able to see the paperwork and go through the different issues. So thanks to everybody on that. As far as the administrator's report, we received all the direction we needed from the council during our work session. So I'm gonna highlight on those areas that I was seeking direction from. First is the CARES Act funding. We were able to work out how we were going to apply funding for the small business and nonprofit grant program. Grants will be issued on a flat rate basis of $1,650 for approved application. There is an economic grant guidance document attached to this report. It's also available from your City Hall on the eligibility and the requirements for applying for a grant. It also identifies that if we go through the cycle and there are funds left over and we can issue another grant program so that we can have the funds expended by the end of the year, that'll be considered by the council. We're still looking for up to three council members to notify the mayor to join the review team. The idea is to take applications that have been received up until Monday, then sort those applications, and then have a meeting on Thursday to go through those applications, and then provide the mayor with a list of eligible applications for approval. The next item we were looking for was a couple of volunteers to join us for the search committee, the interview committee for the administrative librarian. We haven't received any names yet, so if there are a couple of council members that would be interested in being part of that committee, please notify the mayor, and then we can start with processing for soliciting the position. We had a couple of requests for CARES Act spending outside of small business and nonprofit grants. Council member Van der Zanden provided a suggestion for testing. We discussed that. The fire chief, myself, are working on looking at how we could implement a testing program. Councilmember Taylor was very helpful in providing some input. We're still working through that. I don't have any information to provide at this point, but as soon as we do, I will circulate that to the council, and we'll get that information out to the public as well. The other request came from the Chatham School District. Council directed me to process a payment in the amount of $16,500 for items identified there on the report. I know Superintendent Halk is online tonight, so if there are those questions council members have for him, he is available to answer those. And the last item had to do with the library roof. I am working on a RFP and scoping document to modify the previous scope of work in hopes that we will be able to have a project that will get us some responses to the program for the project. I have a draft over to the treasurer. She'll get an opportunity to review that, and then we'll send the draft out to Councilmember Taylor for a review, and hopefully we will have something ready to publish in the very near future. So that's all I have for the report. If there's any other questions, or if any council members would like to speak to Superintendent Houck, he is also online. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Any questions? Oh, Susan, go ahead. Susan, did you have?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes. Yeah, for Superintendent Houck, what date is the school opening? I saw the three scenario plan, but is there a fixed date when classes will start in one form or another? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. We're looking at, I believe it's August 25th. I think it's a Tuesday. Will be the first day of school. We will have 24th or 25th. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but we are going to start right then. The staff will come in the week before that for in-service. Did the council have any questions in regards to the scenarios that we sent out? It's been updated after it went out to the community and to the parents. We had a lot of questions. Hopefully the second scenario that's out there has answered some of those questions.
Council members, any additional questions for Mr. Houck or Tom? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For Tom, I had a question about the guidance for the small business grants under, let me see if I can find the reference here, under on page 96 of the guidance document, the last paragraph under age restriction, there's a highlighted or bolded sentence in there about if a business shifted to curbside delivery, they're not eligible for a grant. Is that really what we intended? It was on page 96, last paragraph of age restriction section. It seems to me that would be punishing a small business for trying to pivot into having any kind of service at all. And did that make them ineligible for a business grant? Could you explain that to me? Thank you.
Sure, thank you, Councilmember Warner. It's page 2 of the guidance document. That language comes from state in its description of eligible small businesses in terms of age-restricted businesses. The idea is age-restricted business would be eligible if it was closed for four consecutive weeks between March 17 through May 8th. However, if they were providing curbside pickup or delivery, that was not considered to be closed. So for their definition, closed did not allow for alternative sales like pickup or delivery. Does that answer your question?
Is that solely for age-restricted businesses like a bar, but it doesn't apply to other businesses where
correct,
they might have provided
only
alternate
age-restricted.
Thank you very much for that clarification. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Mike Taylor, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Yes, for Superintendent Houck. Is there anything else that the city should be thinking about to help you assure that the school can open safely and that the parents and the students are confident and the staff are confident? Is there anything else you need from us? And also, are there any things that the community should be doing to help assure that the school can open safely and productively? Thanks.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. One of the things you guys have talked about already is having some tests available. And I guess that would be one thing that we would appreciate if we have when new staff come in, or if we have somebody coming in from the outside, even though they may be just from Juneau or wherever, it would be nice if they would be tested with a rapid test, just so that we have an idea. If you know, just trying to keep everyone safe as we can. I guess probably the biggest thing that would help is for, you know, everybody to stay safe, wear their masks up till school gets going, so that we can be assured that, you know, everybody is safe. When the kids come in, they will be given, you know, have their temperature taken, and we'll have a series of questions for every student and staff. So just everybody to stay safe. At this point, I don't know that there is anything. You've already been so generous in helping us out with all the materials that we need to get started. This is all new, so we're all kind of going into it to the best that we can and what we know right now.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other council questions for either Tom or Mr. Ho? Okay, that's it for City Administrator's report. Now's our time for public comment on non-agenda items. This is a period of time for the public to comment on non-agenda items only, and it's really not intended for discussion purposes. If you would like to make a public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participant icon and raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Please state your full name before speaking, and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And there will be an opportunity for council members to ask clarifying questions only. So I have a few people already listed, so I'm gonna start at the top. We're gonna go with Julie first.
Hi, yes.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, lovely. On Friday or Saturday, as John and I went out the river, we saw that someone had pitched a tent on the west side of the dock road, nestled in the trees there on the west side. And this, of course, is in a violation of the Gustavus Code of Ordinances, the 10.08.020 section F. that says that overnight camping is prohibited on lands that the city now has as its city park. And so what we suggest is that perhaps there's no sign right now that says no camping. So of course, people would not be aware of that if they were coming into town, that they cannot camp on the beach. So one of the things that we wondered is perhaps the posts are already there that have the no vehicles on the beach signs. They're very unobtrusive signs there. And perhaps we could get three no camping signs that are sort of the same thing with a picture of a tent and a line through it. They're not very big. I don't know. It's like whatever the no vehicle signs are in terms of size. And they could just go right under the no vehicle signs on those same posts. I think intrusive way of letting people know that there is no camping on those beach lands. The other thing that I just wanted to mention just real quick is that there are citizens of the community who had to give up being able to drive to the bench and the point on the west side when it was passed that vehicles would no longer be allowed on the city beach. And I know money is tight right now and all that, but we wonder if it would be in good faith for the city to look at perhaps putting in a hardened trail to that bench that there are so, you know, many of the community that enjoy going there. It would also put them in close vicinity to the fire pit there. And I honestly do not know anything about how you build a hardened trail. I don't have any kind of contractor skills, but whatever it would take to put something there where it would allow for wheelchair access to that chair and or that bench, and also people who have trouble walking, it would be a smooth trail, so there's no risk of tripping over little ruts and whatnot. So that was just all I had to say. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Any council questions for Julie for clarification? Okay, next, Travis Miller. Go ahead, Travis.
All right, so I know I'm not really supposed to, it's non-agenda, but the superintendent reminded me of something that Search wanted me to announce, and that's starting on April 1st, and some details that are still gonna be worked out, is that Search is gonna be testing asymptomatic people, anybody who wants to walk up to the tent that'll be in the Search parking lot. I think I've heard that they're shooting for around noon for 4 hours a day. And that's going to happen every weekend, every Saturday until the end of December at this time. So those will be free asymptomatic testing at Search starting the 1st of August at the facility. So anybody can go and do that. I say take advantage of it. Every opportunity you have, it's a grant. So
okay, thank you, Travis. Any questions for Travis from the council? Susan, go ahead. Question for Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Travis, where is that the Search tent here at the airport? Or is that in Sitka? Or is that at the Search clinic here in Gustavus? Thanks.
Yep, no problem. Thank you. So Search got this huge grant that they're doing all of their places. They started it in Sitka, Juneau, and Wrangell last weekend. I can tell you that Sitka only had 100 people test, so please take advantage of it. That's not very many for their population. It will be at Search clinic here in Gustavus at 23 Dolly Varden Road. and starting on August 1st. So that's where it'll be.
Mike, you have a question for Travis?
Yes, Travis, am I correct that that program would work for meeting the needs that Superintendent Houck mentioned for any of his incoming people that are, may need a test?
Correct. Yes, to an extent, it won't be the rapid test, so it'll be the more the test that's got a higher positivity rate or whatever you want to call that. Can't think of that term right now. So it'll take a few days to get that test back. But part of this grant is the Search Consortium in Sitka is also receiving a machine that can test 300 tests per day in Sitka. Right now they can test 4 tests an hour in Sitka. So this is going to increase the testing capability within Southeast Alaska and the Search Consortium in a whole.
Okay, next on the list I have here is Leah Oaken. Leah?
Hi, this is Leah Oaken. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, council members, and thank you, Travis, for that previous recognition. I just want to expand upon that a little bit and talk about the reasons for those meetings. The reason for the meeting was to create a forum for concerns to be heard for both community members and businesses, to have an opportunity to speak candidly and directly to each other, to find commonalities and solutions to build up understanding and trust so that the community and the critical infrastructure that supports the community and businesses may function and feel as safe as possible, with the main objective which is avoiding further spread of COVID-19 into Gustavus. The GVA seem like the most obvious entity to hold such a forum, as the very essence of the association is to act in the best interests of all visitor-based businesses and listen to the interests and concerns of the community. It was clear that businesses had spent a considerable amount of time and energy putting together mitigation plans. The problem was that the community couldn't get to see those plans and therefore didn't know what the content of those plans were. So it was clear that the community wanted accountability and compliance. And in order to accomplish this, a Gustavus COVID-19 community response plan was needed. So 2 weeks in the creation and over 30 people's input and research went into producing this Gustavus COVID-19 community response plan. And everyone involved, including myself, feels that this is a responsible plan to follow and clearly outlines the protocols needed to meet the objectives of minimizing the spread of this virus into Gustavus. This plan that everyone should read, and when I say everyone, I mean not just businesses, but I think that the community and friends and anybody who's coming in and out of Gustavus should get, you can get a clear understanding of what protocols you should follow to protect the community, yourselves, and everybody around you against this virus. So I would urge everybody to look at this plan, to read it, be aware of it, to follow it and understand it. It's going to be posted on the city site on July 15th. And the only people who have been asked to actually sign the document are the businesses that are currently operating with visitors and infrastructure workers and staff who are coming in and out from out of state. And so far, of all those people who have been asked to sign it, all but 3 have signed it. And those 3, I've just been playing phone tag and haven't had a chance to connect with them because they've been really busy. But I feel confident that everybody is going to be compliant and signing this document. But I do urge that everybody look at this document because it's been really well put together and it answers all those questions of you know, the differences between minimal interaction and what does that mean here in Gustavus, and just all of the details that that you may wonder about, and how to protect this community and the safety. And with schools opening, the flu season coming about, and the temperature is going to get cooler, so we're not out of the woods yet. So I urge everybody to be, who is concerned, to look at this protection plan and to follow the procedures so that we can protect each other. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Leo. Any questions for Leah from the panel? Okay, Amy, you're next on the list here. Sorry, Shelley just raised. Go ahead, Shelley, do you have?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to commend Leah for the excellent job she did in bringing real diverse opinions together in a very collegial manner and coming up with a really beautiful document with the assistance of a number of people. Just wanted to thank her on behalf of the community.
Okay, Amy, sorry for getting out of order there. You could start now.
Oh, no problem. I certainly concur with Shelley's just statement to thank Leah for all the work that she's put together to make us safe here. But I just wanted to make my voice heard re the mask mandates as laid out by the city, which you're going to be discussing later. And I wanted to thank you, whoever put the time in to lay that all out. I think it's an important step to pass these mandates to show our commitment to keep the community safe and to address the serious threat that this virus...
Amy, this is public comment on non-agenda items, so...
Not this non-agenda item.
Can I ask you? Oh, okay, go ahead then.
Is this not a non-agenda item? I thought there was two places where you could comment on non-agenda items. Is this not a non-agenda item? I know it's new business.
I'm sorry, I misheard you. I thought you were talking about our mask resolution that's we're going to talk about later.
Yes, I did, and I'm sorry if I misunderstood. I just don't know where you comment on that. I only saw two places for non-agenda items. One of them was after you discussed that, and one of them is now. And so I thought I would put in my word now. Where will I comment on this? Mayor?
If it's about the masks, our mask resolution, we're going to be talking about that at new business. But if it doesn't have to do with masks,
No, it does have to do with the masks. And just tell me where I can comment on it. I thought that this was one of the places that I could comment on your mask mandates.
It's going to be the first item under new business. It's going to be number 10A.
And so I can just interrupt you along the way, or when do I speak on it?
No, during the regular consideration of that, I'll ask for public comment, and then you can raise your hand at that time, and I'll recognize you at that time.
Okay. I apologize. I just wanted to say I think that it's a great idea. I think we need to do that in order to protect the community and set out guidelines for businesses that might be ambivalent about about the role. I think it would help a lot. So perhaps I'll speak later, or maybe I said everything I need to say, and I apologize for being out of step here.
Thank you. The next hand I have up is Justin Smith. Go ahead, Justin Smith.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to reference the mask resolution just briefly, but I just want to mention a couple of things beyond that. The mask mandate is great. The only thing I think not to like about it is ago or so, and all of these things, such as that resolution has done and other things that have already been discussed tonight, are all about preparedness. And I just want to observe, I think there's more to do to prepare. The city does not yet have any additional authority to enact any safety measures beyond the governor's mandates, which, as we can see, are not stopping the spread in Alaska. Cases are rising dramatically here. They're rising very dramatically down south. And 111 people, residents currently in Gustavus, for the most part, signed a petition asking the city to be in discussion right away with Health Social Services to acquire the authority for additional safety measures for Gustavus when and if needed, but to have those tools in the toolbox ready to go. And to my knowledge, it hasn't happened yet. And I think it's long overdue. And I think a lot of people, certainly all the people that signed that petition, would agree with that. Looking around the world, the only places that this right now are ones that acted early and acted strongly. And, I think no matter what any single person may think about what's going on, the numbers, the data, this is the worst public health crisis of all of our lifetimes. And nothing like this has happened in a century. And it's okay to take it very, very seriously. It is that serious. And I think one of the outstanding things still to be done in Gustavus is to have those discussions with Health and Social Services and to acquire all the authority that we need to deal with if they occur. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Council questions for Justin. Any other public comment on non-agenda item? Okay, we're on to item number 7, our consent agenda. There's three things on the consent agenda for tonight. The first is the approval of our ADEC solid waste 5-year permit renewal. We discussed this at our work session at length with Paul last week. And this is just basically approving our permit renewal with ADEC. The second item is introduction of a non-code ordinance, FY21-01NCO. It's returning the FY20 road maintenance funds. Companion with that is FY21-02NCO. Introduction of the transfer of FY21 road maintenance funds. So this basically is moving our road maintenance funds around into their proper AMLIPs, either AMLIPs or checking account, one of the two. Before we go any further, do any members of the public wish to have any of these items removed from this consent agenda? Moved to new business. Raise your hand if there's any wish to remove these from the agenda, consent agenda. Doesn't appear to be. Do any members of the council wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda and move to a new item under new business? Doesn't it appear to be council members wishing to remove any of these items? At this time, I would entertain a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented or minus items removed.
I'll second that.
I second.
Okay, it was moved to approve the consent agenda by Councilman Joe Clark, seconded by Mike Taylor, and it was a motion for unanimous consent. So if there's no objections to adopting this consent agenda by unanimous consent, is there any objections to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Seeing no objections, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Next on the agenda is ordinance for public hearing. On the agenda this afternoon for public hearing is FY20-20, an NCO establishing our CARES Act AMLIPS account. This is actually opening the public hearing at this point on this on opening this AMLIPS CARES Act account. Do any members of the public wish to speak about this non-code ordinance, FY20? Okay, no, doesn't appear to be any public comment. I'll close the public hearing on this. It is 8:11 p.m. I'm closing the public hearing on FY20-20 NCO establishing a CARES Act AMLIPS account. At this point, I would entertain a motion for okay. We have just concluded the public hearing on FY20-20 NCO establishing the CARES Act AMLIPS account. At this point, I would ask for a council member to make a motion to get this on the agenda item.
Mr. Mayor, this is Councilmember Taylor. I move to approve FY20-20 2020 NCO Establishing CARES Act AMLIP account.
Warner seconds.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilman Taylor and seconded by Councilperson Warner to approve FY20-20 NCO Establishing a CARES Act AMLIPS account. Is there any council comment and debate on this motion? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick comment for the benefit of the public. AMLIP is Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. Phoebe can correct me if I'm wrong on that. It's the name of the bank account. That's what AMLIP means. I thought people might appreciate that. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. A lot of times we get caught up in the and all the terminology, we forget to explain to folks what we're doing. Anyway, so along those lines, what this does is it sets up a separate Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool account that's separate for all our CARES Act funding. It's going to make it easier for Phoebe to keep the books and keep the numbers right and help us in reporting back to the state on the disposition of our CARES Act funding. So anyway, this was just helps us keep our numbers and keeps our books in line. Anyway, is there any other comment on this? Doesn't appear to be. Roll call vote, please, Karen.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vandrazanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, thanks everybody. Next, we're on to new business. There's 5 items under new business. The first is a resolution, CY20-20, a resolution mandating the wearing of cloth face masks. I'm going to read this. Can you bump up the... I'm going to have to read this into the record. So here we go. City of Gustavus, Alaska, Resolution CY20-20, a resolution by the City of Gustavus. Okay, resolution by the City of Gustavus mandating the wearing of cloth face masks. Whereas the Gustavus City Council adopted Resolution CY20-11, a resolution by the City of Gustavus declaring a local emergency in response to COVID-19 and a request for state and federal assistance, and whereas COVID-19 is a respiratory disease that can result in serious illness or death and is caused by the SARS-CoV-2 virus, a new strain of coronavirus that has not been previously identified in humans and is easily transmittable person to person. And whereas the state of Alaska has mandated testing or self-quarantining of travelers into Alaska from out of state and other measures to counter the spread of the virus. And whereas visitor and retail businesses in Gustavus are implementing protective plans and measures in accordance with the state mandates and public health recommendations to reduce the risk of introducing the virus into the community. And whereas the virus is primarily transmitted from person to person via exhaled respiratory droplets during speaking, coughing, sneezing, yelling, singing, and even breathing, that are then inhaled by another person nearby. And whereas cloth face masks have proven effective in blocking or reducing transmission of virus containing respiratory droplets from infected person to susceptible persons nearby, especially indoor spaces, but also in outdoor spaces where people cannot maintain adequate social distancing. And whereas the state of Alaska and national public health scientists and officials strongly recommend wearing of face coverings as an essential means of controlling the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas states and municipalities nationwide, including municipalities in Alaska, are mandating wearing of face masks in public areas where social distancing cannot be relied upon to block transmission. And whereas rigorous application of social distancing, mask wearing, and hand washing by people in Gustavus may preclude the need for stricter or more economically and socially disruptive measures such as travel controls. Now, therefore, be resolved, all individuals within the city of Gustavus are mandated to wear masks or cloth face coverings over their nose and mouth while they're indoors in public settings or in communal spaces outside the home and when outdoors in public spaces where they may be within 6 feet of other members of the public outside their immediate family. This mandate is subject to the conditions and exceptions stated below. Two, the settings included in this order include but are not limited to the public and communal spaces within the following. Scroll down. A, grocery stores and all other retail stores. B, restaurants, cafes, bars, including food preparation, carryout, and delivery food operations. Limited exception for customers while they're eating or drinking in one of those such settings. C, businesses, taxis, vessels, aircrafts, and other forms of public or visitor transportation when passengers are present. D, personal care facilities. E, child care facilities. F, communal areas of offices where people from multiple households are present. G, indoor communal spaces in other buildings, including the City of Gustavus buildings, schools, the U.S. Post Office, and government offices. H, churches. I, outdoor areas such as docks and floats, small vessels, or crowded areas in parks where 6 feet social distancing may not be possible and where members of public other than one's immediate family may be encountered at close quarters. Three, employers are responsible to make sure employees who are present in the workplace have access to and wear masks or cloth face coverings when in direct contact with customers, members of the public, or other employees. Masks are not required when the only direct contact is between members of the same household or when employees are not near others within 6 feet. Four, this mandate does not apply to the following categories of people or activities. A, any child, these very young children should not wear a face covering because of the risk of suffocation. B, any child under the age of 12 years unless a parent or caregiver supervises the use of their face coverings by the child to avoid misuse. C, any individual for whom wearing a mask or cloth face covering would be contrary to his or her health or safety because of a medical condition or mental health condition, and any individual unable to tolerate a mask due to a physical or mental disability. Communicating with someone who is deaf or hard of
I'm going to continue for Mayor Cassapit reading the rest of this resolution. He just got bumped off. So we're on bullet number 5. If a person declines to wear a mask or face covering because of medical conditions or disability as described above, this mandate does not require them to produce medical documentation verifying the stated condition or disability. Businesses may wish to consider accommodating such individuals through curbside or delivery service, or by allowing the individual inside without a mask if doing so will not place others at risk. Number 6, the City of Gustavus respectfully requests the public's cooperation with the provisions of this mandate for the benefit of all citizens and visitors. Violation of this mandate does not create grounds for residents to harass individuals who do not comply with it. Number 7, this resolution shall be effective on council approval and shall terminate on October 1st, 2020, unless repealed earlier or extended by further resolution. Okay, it looks like we're having some technical difficulties with Mayor Cassapit. So think we'll just give it a second. Hang on. Vice Mayor Cannamore, would you please take over the meeting while Mayor Cassapit gets reconnected? We're going to need a motion.
Sure. Okay. I'm scheduled to make the motion, so I'll go ahead and do that. Or should somebody else do it, Karen?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that we approve CY20-20 mandating the wearing of cloth face masks. Can I?
Taylor seconds.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by myself and Councilmember Taylor. Is there any public comment? Go ahead, Amy. Amy Omans, if you'd like to make a comment, you can go.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. So, whereas there's a surge in the hospitalizations that are sweeping the Western USA at the moment, and Alaska is on the list of surging states, I think it's really an important step to pass these mandates and show a commitment to keep our communities safe. And I think that these mandates also would serve to help local businesses set guidelines for their staff and guests who may be ambivalent to their roles in keeping the coronavirus from taking hold in our community. And that's basically what I wanted to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Amy. Whitney.
Hi there. I have unstable internet connection, but I want to commend the
City Council for a very clearly articulated plan. If anyone has any questions about any of the figures that I sent, I think this is definitely a appropriate time to engage all of us in a proactive method to control the virus as best as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney. Is there any other public comment for this item? Go ahead. Annie, you can go ahead if you're ready.
Oh, okay, great. I was just waiting for you to say my name. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay? Okay. I wrote a letter, but I just wanted to reiterate that looking at the scientific data that we have now, it's taken more than 4 months to gather a lot of that data from not only the United States, but around the world. And what has been proven to be successful in helping to halt this virus is wearing masks. It's a really simple, doable thing. It doesn't require the vaccine or anything. It's something we can do right now, right here. And I hope that the council will pass this resolution. Thank you.
Mayor hey, Kessler, Brittany, are you
thanks
back
for,
online?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Brittany. I was able to log back in and it seems to be working now. So I heard all of Annie's testimony just now. So, thanks everybody for hanging in there with me. Okay, any other public comment on our mask? Okay, it doesn't appear to be any more public comment on the mask resolution. It's now before the council for debate and deliberation. Any council? Go ahead, Mike. I believe the graphs that have been flashing on the screen are ones that you asked that we put into the packet tonight. So.
Yes, it's the fine work of Whitney Rapp, and they really do help give us as charts, they show us visually how the epidemic has been changing here in Alaska. And many of us, I think, tuned into the governor's press conference this afternoon, and the governor made a very strong plea for Alaskans to wear masks, especially indoors. And he emphasized why they are important and that while not perfect, they can be strongly effective at reducing the transmission rates, the probability of transmission from people who are infected and may not even know they're infected. So not only has have experts nationally like Dr. Fauci, but also our state epidemiologists and medical directors and the governor have made a strong plea for Alaskans to make use of this very simple technology. In developing this resolution, we just copied, we started with the mayor's order from Anchorage, which is also being adopted in similar forms by several other communities now, and did a little editing to make it fit Gustavus and deleted a few things that Anchorage had that that we don't have here that didn't apply. But essentially, it picks up, takes the same approach that that Anchorage is doing. And again, while the state hasn't officially mandated it, the governor hasn't felt that using a mandate was his way forward, but he has strongly recommended this. So this is our opportunity to say, yes, this is what we're going to do within our own community. And I know there are questions raised about things like enforcement, and enforcement isn't what we're about with this. I think maybe enforcement is something that we all need to do with ourselves, and you know, to take this seriously, to help the rest of our community stay healthy. And if we do get an introduction of the virus into the community, this could make the difference on as to whether we are able to control the spread. So I hope the other council members will agree and will pass this to give the direction that many of our community are.
Joe Clark, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I keep getting a message here that says I have a weak internet connection, but I'll see if I can get through this. Everyone has been impacted by this COVID pandemic. We mourn those that have lost lives to this virus. Millions of Americans have lost jobs, been isolated, delayed necessary medical care, missed months of school, and have been prohibited from worshiping. We are now months into this event, and our community has suffered. It's time to find a way out of this mess. We have learned a lot about corona. We have learned that corona-19 is a mild disease in the vast majority of people. 85% of the people who contact the disease have few, if any, symptoms at all. About 10% become ill and require medical treatment. While any death is tragic, only a tiny fraction have died from this virus. Who is truly at risk from this virus? And also have underlying health problems, specifically diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and lung disease. Health is much more important. Children are at virtually no risk. Those children that have been impacted had serious underlying health issues. Because I fall in this high-risk category, I myself imposed restrictions on others. We all know how to stay safe without further mandates. I am sure that many of our citizens are very tired of inhaling their own carbon dioxide. Some refuse to wear a mask. Increased testing has discovered many more cases, but the death rate remains very low. There are things that each can do to bolster and trust our own immune systems. Healthy diet, adequate sleep, regular exercise, exposure to the sun, taking extra vitamin D, C, and zinc, managing stress by having normal routines, gathering with friends and family, the ability to worship and associate with our congregation. It always makes sense to follow reasonable hygiene guidelines, hand washing, covering coughs and sneezes, and cleaning surfaces. Let's quit responding to politicians and news media that have needlessly ramped up fear. It's time to get our businesses up and running at full capacity and to trust our immune systems to do their jobs. Given what we know about this COVID-19 virus, waiting for the development of a vaccine before we get back to work and a life of normalcy is counterproductive in the extreme. It's time to take our lives back. Thank you very much for this time to express my viewpoint.
Thank you, Joe. Any other council? Shelley, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also have buffering Zoom today. Well, I appreciate, you know, Joe's comments. I think we've all seen different statistics, and I'm not going to, you know, quote the other scientific information that that we've been hearing. But my concerns are that that I mean, we recently we've seen quite a surge in the state, and Dr. Zink said that 30% of all cases that we've had in the state occurred during the last week, and the state is becoming unable to do contact tracing, which may, you know, raise the question of the efficacy of testing. We know that asymptomatic infection is a significant factor, as many as 50% of people. And I've also heard, although I can't tell you where, that 60% of the population wore masks, it would reduce the rate of infection by 60%. They talk about just masks alone, you know, having you know, saving thousands, if not millions of lives. What we've learned about the masks is that it's not only a preventative measure to protect the person who's asymptomatic from infecting others, but it also has a protective feature for the wearer who is not sick and not asymptomatic. So I appreciate, you know, the really good work on this, and would really, really hope that we have the support. I guess we've gotten a lot of letters, and I guess one of my favorites is from Colleen Stansbury. I'd like to read her last paragraph. She says, "I understand that a mask mandate is unenforceable and that there are those who will never wear a mask no matter what the consequences, but the time has come for the City Council to lead to protect families and loved ones, businesses and visitors by setting the expectation that we will all take care of each other by wearing masks when in public. Do this simply because it's the right thing to do. Thanks."
Any other council comment? Seeing no other council comment, Karen, will you conduct a roll call vote?
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kilmore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
No.
Okay, motion passes 6-1.
Okay, next on the agenda, item B, 10B, CY20-19. It's another resolution. It's establishing our CARES Act Small Business Nonprofit Relief Grant Program. And Karen, I read this in the record as well, don't I? Yep. Okay, there it is. Okay, here
Mr.
I go.
Mayor? Sorry,
Mr.
Cal, can
Mayor,
I interrupt?
Do I need to?
What's happening here?
Got two people on here. Brittany, go ahead.
I just wanted to address Karen. I realized I wanted to speak in the last thing, but it's not letting me raise my hand because I'm still a co-host. Could you unhost me so I could raise my hand in the future, please?
I'm sorry, Brittany. I should have caught that. Susan, do you have something as well?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, did you need me to make a motion to adopt the resolution before you read it into the record, or does that come after?
Karen instructed me that I have to read it first, and then you can do the motion.
Okay.
So here I go. I'm going to read the resolution. A City of Gustavus, Alaska Resolution, CY20-19. A resolution by the City of Gustavus, Alaska, establishing a small business and nonprofit relief grant program to mitigate the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the business community of Gustavus. Whereas on March 24, 2020, the City of Gustavus declared an emergency based on the risk to the public posed by the global COVID-19 pandemic and the substantial adverse economic impacts to Gustavus residents, which was confirmed by the Gustavus City Council on March 19, 2020. And whereas Gustavus businesses and nonprofits rely upon the visitor and tourism industry for financial stability, and whereas the City of Gustavus wishes to implement a small business and nonprofit relief grant program to mitigate the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the financial stability of Gustavus businesses, whereas economic assistance to businesses and nonprofits in the City of Gustavus due to the impacts of COVID-19 and the federal and state emergency measures related to COVID-19 is an authorized use of CARES Act funding under the Federal Treasury Guidelines. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Gustavus City Council considers expenditures to mitigate the economic injury caused by the COVID-19 pandemic on the local economy to be necessary expenditures in accordance with the CARES Act and establishes a small business and nonprofit relief grant program. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this resolution shall be effective immediately upon adoption, passed and approved by the Gustavus City Council, and then signed by Mayor Caspit and attested by Karen. That's the resolution. I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt CY20-19, establishing CARES Act Small Business Nonprofit Relief Grant Program.
I second that.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Warner, moved by Councilperson Warner to establish the CARES Act Small Business Nonprofit Relief Grant Program, CY20-19, seconded by Vice Mayor Kennemore. I now invite public comment on this resolution. Any public comment on this resolution? Public comment on this resolution? Seeing no public comment on this resolution, it's now before the council for deliberation and debate. Council members, anybody want to? Go ahead, Susan.
I just wanted to say that I'm delighted that we're taking this small step to try to help our local businesses. It's not a huge deal, but it's a small step. And I just wanted to thank our city administrator for all the time and effort he put into helping to develop the guidance document and the application process for this. So thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Susan. I guess I will speak on this as well. I wanted to thank the council for the work y'all put in and pulling this program together, this small business nonprofit grant program together. That's something we worked on pretty hard over the last few work sessions, and everybody pitched in and got this done. And hopefully this will provide some relief to our businesses and nonprofits in town. It's not going to be a lot, but it'll help. And hopefully there'll be more, you know, maybe down the road when we see how this shakes out, see if there's more money that comes from the feds. Maybe there'll be some more later on. But anyway, I just wanted to thank everybody for putting in the hard work and getting this done over the last couple of work sessions. So anyway, thanks, everybody. Any other council comment? Okay, so we're ready for the question. Go ahead and conduct a roll call vote, please, Karen.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor? Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Item 10C under new business is FY21-03 NCO. It is our AMLIP, Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, FY21 Repair and Replacement Contribution. This is basically introducing this contribution for a public hearing for our next month's regular meeting. So this is only introducing this repair and replacement contribution. If you recall, this was taken off during our work session. We wanted to put this on new business so we can fully debate this and not have it on the consent agenda. So anyway, since this is not a resolution, I don't have to read it into the record. It is before you, in front of you on your Zoom screen, however. At this point, I would entertain a motion to adopt or to introduce this NCO for a public hearing on August 10th, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt City Ordinance FY21-03 NCO, providing for AMLIP FY21 Repair and Replacement Contract.
Does he need a proof for introduction?
I believe that's introduction, yes. Introduction of FY21-03-NCO. Is that correct, Joe? Joe Van der Zanden, are you online? This is to introduce FY21-03 NCO AMLIP FY21 repair and replacement contract.
Yes, it just got quiet there for a while. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have that wording in my briefing there, but I can change that. I move we introduce City Ordinance FY21-03 NCO.
Mayor will second that. So it's been moved by Member Van der Zanden and seconded by Mayor Cassapet to introduce FY21-03 NCO, the AMLIP FY21 repair and replacement contribution. Any public comment? Oh, I should back up on this. Basically, what this does, it takes money out of our checking account that's in there for our FY21 budget, and it puts it into our Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool Repair and Replacement Fund that we use to repair and replace capital equipment. So anyway, so that's what we put in place a couple years ago when Phoebe came on board. One of the things that was recommended to us that we have a repair and replacement account for all of our equipment, and we've been doing that. And this is our this would be our contribution to that repair and replacement fund from all our different departments this year for their equipment. Anyway, that's a quick summary of what that is. Any public comment on this introduction of our AMLIP's repair and replacement? It doesn't appear to be any public comment. Any council comment on this introduction? Any council comment? Okay, well, I support introducing this and having our public hearing next month. This puts into place what was recommended to us. It's part of our generally accepted accounting principles. Just part of business and doing a professional job of managing our resources and providing for replacement of our equipment. Anyway, with that, I will ask Karen to conduct a roll call vote. Karen, please.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapet?
Yes.
Councilmember Van der Zanden? Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay, this brings us to the fourth item under new business, item 10D. Another resolution, CY20-18. It's our endowment fund asset allocation plan. And basically, We talked about this a little bit of our work session, and Phoebe may want to jump in and explain if I haven't done this right. But this basically keeps in place our existing risk level. As a result of that, for keeping our existing risk level, our distribution rate from our endowment fund has to be reduced from 3% to 2%. So we'll be giving out less per year for endowment fund grant or endowment fund grants based on this resolution. Now, if we want to change this, like we had discussed at the work session, to go from take an increase in risk, that would maintain our distribution. But that would have to be done at a later date through a change in ordinance. So with this one, what this does, it just keeps in our existing risk structure, and as a result, we will be having less money to distribute in our endowment fund process. Council can change that later on, but we're required to do a little more work. So anyway, with that, I guess I have to read this resolution into the record. So here I go.
I'm not hearing anything.
I'm sorry. I got to start over. I'm sorry. Here I go again. City of Gustavus, Alaska, Resolution CY20-18. A resolution by the City of Gustavus pertaining to the authorized investment of an investment allocation of and establishing appropriate benchmarks to measure performance of the city's endowments funds. Whereas pursuant to the City of Gustavus Ordinance 04.13.050, subsection C, the Gustavus City Council shall annually approve an asset allocation plan for investment of the city's endowment funds. And whereas pursuant to the City of Gustavus Ordinance 04.13.060, subsection C, permits investment of the endowment fund in various asset classes, and the council believes that establishing asset allocation criteria for those various asset classes is in the best interest of the City of Gustavus, and whereas the annually approved asset allocation plan will provide benchmarks to measure investment performance, and whereas the investment manager has recommended no changes to the asset allocation, and whereas the investment manager has recommended no changes to the performance benchmarks, now therefore be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council adopts the asset allocation plan for the upcoming FY21 as follows. Endowment fund asset allocation plan and performance measurement targets. Section 1. The asset allocation plan and target weighting with range restrictions are as follows. Asset class cash, target weighting 10%, range 0-15%. Asset class international fixed income, target weighting 5%, range 0-10%. Asset class US TIPS, 10%, target weighting, range 0-15%. Asset class U.S. fixed income, target weighting 35%, range 20-50%. Real estate investment trust, target weighting 2%, range 0-5%. Asset class infrastructure, target weighting 3%, range 0-6%. Asset class emerging market equity, target weighting 2%, range 0 to 5%. Asset class international equity, target weighting 8%, range 0 to 15%. Asset class US small cap equity, target weighting 1%, range 0 to 5%. Asset class US mid cap equity, target weighting 2%, range 0 to 5%. Asset class US large cap equity, target weighting 22%, range 15 to 50%. Section 2, the performance of the fund investment managers will be measured as follows. Performance measurement of the cash allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Citigroup 90-day T-bill index. Performance measurements of the international fixed income allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Barclays Global Aggregate USD Float Adjusted RAC Capped Index. Performance measurement of the U.S. Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, TIPS, allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Barclays U.S. TIPS 0 to 5 Index. Performance measurement of the fixed income allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Barclays Capital Aggregate Bond Index for the benchmark. Performance measurement of the real estate equities allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Standard & Poor's US REIT index as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the infrastructure equities allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the StockX Global Broad Infrastructural Index as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the emerging markets allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the MSCI Emerging Markets as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the international equity allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the MSCI EAFE as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the small cap equity allocation will be measured against the target weighting using the Standard & Poor's 600 Small Cap Index as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the mid-cap equity allocation will be measured against this target weighting using the Standard & Poor's 400 Mid-Cap Index as the benchmark. Performance measurement of the large-cap domestic equity allocation will be measured against target weighting using the Standard & Poor's 500 Index for the benchmark. Passed and approved by a duly constituted quorum of the Gustavus City Council this day of 2020, effective upon adoption, signed by me and attested by Karen. That is the resolution. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adopt.
Mr. Mayor, this is Councilmember Taylor. I move to adopt resolution CY20-18, Endowment Fund Asset Allocation, presented in the packet as option A.
Seconded by Warner.
Moved by Councilmember Taylor, seconded by Councilmember Warner to approve resolution CY20-18, the Endowment Fund Asset Allocation Plan, as I read into the record, as identified in the packet as option A. Any public comment on this resolution? Any council comment on this resolution? Go ahead, Mike. I saw you first, and then I have Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hope eventually we'll be able to go to option B. It's the essential recommendation of our investment firm if we want to make more money over time. However, as we understand from the input from our treasurer, option B doesn't align with our current allocation requirement in our code of ordinance. So we'll have to change the code of ordinance to go to option B. And I definitely hope that we will begin to take that, begin that process next month so that we can realize more income in this fund for use with projects. That said, this option A continues the same asset allocation that we've had for some time. It's just that the investment firm says that under the, in the current stock market environment, we couldn't be so sure of getting 3% every year or having enough extra growth in the investment account to use 3% of it every year. That doesn't mean we won't. We may very well be able to give 3% with this allocation. I support passing this for now and hope that we'll look for the opportunity starting next month to adjust our code of ordinances and then to pass another resolution that would allow us to take advantage of a little more income for the endowment fund. Thank you.
Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I support keeping our allocations the same. Now is in this environment is not the time to be increasing our financial level of risk. And we can always go back and adjust this later when the world stops tilting. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Any other? I too am going to vote in favor of this resolution. I also, while Mike brings up some ideas about, possibly taking on a higher level of risk to maintain. Maintain our distributions. I want to take a hard look at that. I want to spend some time doing that before we go about that. And I think if we all get together and start maybe look at things, maybe we can come up with something. But I'm kind of at the point right now where I'm very I really don't want to take more risk. With the endowment fund at this point, kind of way the economics are right now. But, maybe in a month or a few months or something, maybe something will change. But I'm kind of with Susan. I'm a little risk adverse right now. So anyway, that's kind of. Any other council comment? Okay, and seeing no comment, I'll have Karen conduct a roll call vote. Karen?
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-0.
Okay. Final agenda under new business. Final agenda item under new business, item 10E. It's approval of our public information officer, emergency operations center position, job description. Let me see. I entertain a motion to put this on the table for.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve public information officer emergency operations center position description.
And I'll second that, Mayor.
I'll second.
I'll give that to Mike. Mike Taylor seconds. So it's been moved by Member Clark and seconded by Member Taylor to approve the Public Information Officer Emergency Operations Center position description. Is there any public comment on that? No public comment. Is there any council? Susan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two small amendments to propose.
Go ahead.
All right, the first one, amendment number one, is I move to amend the first sentence to read, the public information officer works under the general supervision and direction of the incident commander with oversight from the City of Gustavus City Administrator.
Is there a second to this motion? No second on your motion, Sue.
May I make an additional comment for why this would be good?
Not if there's a second.
This is Councilman Clark. I'll second it.
Okay, Susan's amendment would be to add under the you would add
with what oversight would, from the City of Davis City Administrator. Sorry, what?
Okay, with oversight from the City Administrator would come after Incident Commander, correct?
Correct. And the rationale for doing that is to simply state explicitly what's outlined in our organization chart that was published in last month's June 8th budget that shows that the city administrator has oversight over the personnel and human resources for the fire hall and all folks associated with that. So the idea is to link whoever takes this position with our resource being the administrator for administrating personnel matters for the City of Gustavus. So it would just be making explicit what lines of reporting already exist.
Mike, go ahead.
I object because that's inconsistent with the incident command system. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. I was about to say the same thing. I didn't quite know how that worked in the ICS system. I think you're, any other council comment? Okay, let's vote on the end. Joe Clark, go ahead.
I don't know if Travis is still on, but I had a question, actually a couple of questions. The $8,441.32 that would pay this position through September, that will that come out of the CARES funds? Question number two. The last bullet point on the job description under job duties include but are not limited to report or elevate to the incident command any problematic contacts with members of the public. Can you expound on that? What exactly does that report or elevate problematic contacts with members of the public actually mean? And I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Travis, I'm gonna have you answer Joe's questions, but then I wanna get back to the amendment that's under consideration from Susan. But I'll let you answer the questions from Joe just to keep the flow right here.
Sounds good, thank you. So question two, report and elevate any problematic contacts with members of the public. That would just be any complaints that we receive would be both of these words are terminology out of the incident command system. So report would just be, write a report and then elevate it would be just pass it up the chain of command. So the PIO, this PIO position or the public information officer position would just report that to me. And if it was more than I can deal with, then I'd elevate that up to the mayor of the overall person of this incident, who is Cal at this time. So that was that question.
The 8,441, I can wait till, I didn't realize I was cutting in on this this deal. So I'll wait till later to ask my question.
Well, Joe, just to answer you, yes, the money that's identified here would come through come from our CARES Act funding from the state. So yeah, it would come from the CARES Act. But let's round back up to Susan's amendment, which is to add the city administrator under the oversight of the city administrator after incident commander. So we're back to that. We're trying to, Mike didn't think it fit with the ICS system, and I kind of agreed with him on that. So let's pick up the conversation from there. Is there any other discussion on adding that before we dispose? Any other council comment on? Okay, can we get a roll call vote on the amendment, please, Karen?
Councilmember Owens.
No.
Mayor Cassapit.
No.
Councilmember Clark.
That was for me. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Taylor.
No.
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
No.
Vice Mayor Cannamore.
No.
Councilmember Warner.
Yes.
Okay, motion fails. 5 against and 2 in favor.
Susan, I believe you had another amendment.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My second amendment is I'm going to move to add an additional bullet point to the list of job duties as follows. I move that the public information officer works with the Gustavus City Clerk and Gustavus City Administrator to 1, comply with all applicable city ordinance and state statutes, and 2, preserve the accuracy and integrity of city government information as per the city's social media policy, resolution CY19-13, as outlined in the City of Gustavus social media guide from April 2019, and in accordance with Alaska Public Records Law. And I did email these at the last minute to Madam Clerk, so you do have a text version of it in your email.
Do I hear a second?
I second that.
Okay, council discussion on the amendment. Susan, do you care to set that off? Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you. The intention here is if we're going to go to the trouble to have our public information officer, which is at the present time is the city clerk, operating under a Gustavus social media policy for how government information is relayed and managed, do we not want a public information officer in the fire hall to be following what our social media guidelines are? So the intent of this is to bring that person in to be working with Karen and Tom to be in alignment with the social media policies that we passed, labored over and passed last April, I believe.
Mike Taylor.
Yes, I don't necessarily object to this one. I think it's probably unnecessary, as the other one was, in that in the incident command system, the incident commander and everybody under the incident commander is required to follow their agency's policies. Written policies and others for in everything that they do. So what Susan's trying to accomplish here is actually something that they would be doing anyway. And the same was actually true of the first amendment that she provided. The personnel requirements of the city would always apply to anybody who's a city employee, and it would be the policy, that policy would be carried through through the incident commander to everybody that works under the incident commander. So I'd like to hear Travis's view on this, see if there's, if he'd like to.
Go ahead, Travis.
Just kind of believe that this is already covered by being an employee under the City of Gustavus. That's ultimately who they're employed by. So
they have to follow policy and procedures set forth by the city. Anyways, that would be my only 2 cents to this. Anything that they release has to be okayed by me, and I wouldn't release anything that I felt that would jeopardize the council or the mayor or anything in that regards without first approving that through the mayor. I've already sent out, for instance, I've already sent out a thing to the mayor and to the city administrator just for edits on a press release for CY 2020 that you guys just passed a few minutes ago so that we can put that out to the public first thing either tonight or tomorrow. So that's already out there for approval. So same similar type thing. If it's any higher than me putting a picture on a flyer saying wear a mask or something like that.
Thanks, Travis. I believe that this would be this is a city employee. This employee would be subject to our social media policy and all our personnel policies as well. So I don't necessarily think we'd want to repeat all those different policies and procedures in a job description. So anyway, this is a job description. We've got to understand what this is. Any other comment? Any further council? Susan, did you have something more? I'm giving you a third time. So go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, one last comment. This is a job description should show what your duties actually are. And this would make it explicit that this person would be working with the person that in our organizational structure, who we've invested a great deal of time and money in, and she's put a great deal of effort in to becoming professionally certified in being in managing public information, which is different than just a social media site like the library and the fire hall have had up till now. So I think it would be worthwhile to make it explicit that this person needs to work with our resource for complying with the requirements for public information. So I don't think that that's really explicitly laid out other than if we said it's a job duty. Okay, thanks.
Any additional council? Karen, roll call vote.
Councilmember Clark.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
No.
Mayor Cassapit?
No.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
No.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
No.
Councilmember Taylor?
No.
Okay, motion fails. 5 against, 2 in favor. We're back to the main motion.
Okay, we're back to a main motion, the job description. Any other amendment? Okay, any other questions or comments about the document itself? Okay, Karen, question on the main motion. Approving this job description.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassaput?
Yes.
Councilmember Clark?
No.
Councilmember Warner?
No.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
Yes.
Motion passes 5 in favor, 2 against.
Okay, we are down now to city council reports. I'm not sure that there are any reports other than I know Susan might have something, and then perhaps Joe van der Zanden, you may have something as well from the facilities, but go first.
Sorry, didn't hear that. What?
We're at council reports, and I know that Susan, you have something on the Economic Stabilization Task Force, and I believe also Joe van der Zanden may have something on marine facilities. I see Joe with his hand up, so I'm going to recognize that first. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, we had one marine meeting in June. There wasn't much decided other than our recommendation for zoning on the breakwater float was just, it's approximately 40 feet right at the bottom of the ramp that Ben thought it would be good to stencil a 15-minute loading zone sign on that, just because it's sort of the most protected place from southwest weather. And the rest of it is already marked as a 2-hour zone. The problems are kind of taking care of themselves down there, and he's just dealing with it as it happens, but it seems to be working well this year. And also the trailer with the generator at the end of the dock is probably going to be there for about a year. I think AP&T's engineer has somewhat worked out the problem now, but to order the transformer that it's going to take is months and months away. So we're just stuck with that. Now, one other thing regarding AP&T, it's not marine stuff, but it doesn't look like this fall. Maybe just a little surveying or something, but not anything serious. That's all I had.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Any for Joe? Okay, Susan, did you want to give a update on the stabilization?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The report is essentially what I talked about at the work session, so this will be for members of the public, since most of you have already heard of it. The COVID-19 Economic Stabilization Task Force was a work group of the council, and we met 4 times, May 16 and 21st, and June 4 and 18, with a total of 58 participants over Zoom. The first 2 meetings in May explored ideas for revitalizing our tourism industry. One group out of that may move forward with establishing a recurring Gustavus Music Festival. And another group is slowly building up Gustavus resources for experiential science adventuring and environmental leadership. The third Zoom session on June 4th focused on our local food production capacity and food security. One group is moving forward with ideas particularly geared toward better securing our winter food supply and working with Brittany to formulate a proposal for possible CARES Act funding support. Brittany, has that group met again since?
We haven't met since I got back from my trip last week. I'm going to schedule a meeting this week. And I don't have a lot of changes since our work session meeting on last Monday, but I can talk more if.
Okay, well, keep us posted on, you know, if where things go, particularly in terms of developing a CARES Act funding proposal, because I think we've got a placeholder in there for it. Then the final of the four sessions focused on the two infrastructure projects rated with high priority in the council-sponsored December 2019 online infrastructure survey. Being improving roads and developing a safe public drinking water supply. That conversation was sort of structured in two parts. For safe public drinking water supply, we've got two problems to solve: obtaining a safe water source for PFAS-compromised residents and resolving a National Park Service conflict for drinking water source. The components that we talked about were developing a new water source, planning for access, distribution, testing, and reporting with a potential for a $60,000 study, plus contractual advising and assistance. And three, planning and funding some kind of $500,000 to $600,000 construction project. Then the second infrastructure area that was rated highly was working on our roads. And the components of the conversation were about obtaining a source of good rock material, engineering and LIDAR assistance with planning upgrades, potentially another $60,000 study, and then three, obtaining construction funding for a road repair upgrade project, somewhere in the neighborhood of potentially $600,000. The outcome of that conversation was that many community members are aware of the problem, but the status of our roads is so primitively bad that the cost and magnitude of addressing our roads, $300,000 to $500,000 per mile just for material, is just too daunting and entirely out of reach. The consensus appeared to be that efforts to advance both the water and roads improvements would both be advanced by waiting for the results of the LIDAR data survey to inform our strategies. So preliminary results are expected within a couple of months, with full reporting by next spring, and maybe Whitney can update us if that's changed at all. And then finally, there was a two-hour meeting of the Juneau Assembly's COVID-19 Economic Stabilization Task Force group on June 26th. And it was very apparent that Juneau is struggling with many of the same issues as Gustavus, particularly with respect to reserving first-round CARES Act funding to be available for relief of municipal debt should the current national legislation pass that allows for it. And Juneau's taking a very cautious approach. And so that completes the initial series of community conversations regarding immediate relief and long-term recovery from the financial impacts of the COVID-19 virus. The Economic Task Force stands ready to further explore community ideas in this area should the council desire the work group to do so. Thanks.
Okay, council, any questions for Susan on her report? Susan, I have a question for you. Where did the $300,000 to $500,000 per mile?
I believe that was Justin Marchbanks who came up with that. He was on here earlier. Scroll down. It doesn't look like he's still on there. But it was, I think it was Justin who came up with that.
Okay. Mike, go ahead. You had your hand up.
Yes, thank you on that cost per mile. Yes, that was just a rough estimate for a huge upgrade to the quality of gravel. That wouldn't even pave. I mean, the next step beyond that would be to asphalt the roads or something. And it was sort of off the top of his head based on the typical costs of constructing high quality gravel roads in Southeast Alaska. So it's the, unfortunately, we don't have that kind of gravel or that kind of money to make those, you know, to upgrade to those levels, at least at this point. And so we felt that the continuing the more iterative process that we have that has made a huge improvement to the roads over the last 14 years or so that we've been doing, or 16, I guess, that we've been doing this, and make the most of the LIDAR data to deal with the flooding issues in some places by providing drainage that was better informed by the LIDAR mapping. Thanks.
Well, you know, Mike, you and I have talked about this before, and I think I agree with you 100%. I'm getting that LIDAR data together and then getting a hydraulic engineer or something, roads hydraulics engineer or something, looking at the drainage systems. I think just getting the water off the roads would make a huge. Okay, anyway, let's see, I don't have, is there any other council comments or council members wish to provide reports on? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether to do this at this point or in the council comments, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the beach. We heard from Julie Howell earlier, and I appreciated her input. I have been concerned that we are, of course, distracted by the COVID situation, and it's really tended to pull us off of a lot of the things that we would rather have been doing had we not been faced with something that rose to the top of the priority list properly. But I would like to keep work going on the beach. The beach park improvements that were identified and approved with the CRMA for the beach. I met today with Kathy Hawker and Julie Howell just to talk about how we might go about some of the remaining items, informational sign, another name sign on the on the west side, identifying the park, no camping signs, as she raised that issue. We'd like to get those things installed, setting forth a project that I would have to scope out for the hardened pathway down to the bench, because that may be more money than we've got available or would have after we finish the other things. There were a number of small items like that, some benches and things that we had intended to put in, maybe another picnic table, improvements around the fire pit. A lot of those were small things that we long planned to do. And we haven't been entirely clear whether the council had given the administration the go-ahead to proceed on these items. This is, the beach stuff is funded as a capital project. And Phoebe informed me this afternoon that we still have $31,133.50 in that project that has been approved for spending. And so I'm wondering if people feel that in fact the administration does have the approval of the council to proceed and complete these items that would be useful, helpful, and attractive amenities for the beach park. So any comment from the rest of you and mayor especially would be helpful. It helped me know what to work on and how to work with Tom.
Joe Van Der Zand, go ahead. Joe Van Der Zand?
I would not be in favor of spending any more money on the beach at this time. Everything seems to have settled down out there. People are accepting it. The logs are going to have grass growing up around them, and there's not a lot of traffic anyway. I talked to Julie as well today, and I thought their idea for the no camping signs was fine, that they weren't very intrusive. I think people getting off the ferry are not inclined to think that that's a camping area anyway, the way it's been sectioned off. But I think just because the money's been awarded in the past for those projects doesn't mean it would be prudent to be spending it right now when we're so behind in our budgets.
Okay, we're in the council comments, so I don't have a problem with maybe the no camping signs, but if we start spending a bunch more money, I start getting into Joe's concern about how much the council has approved and not approved, and maybe we need to have a work session and talk more about this. I'm not sure. Other counts? Mike, go ahead.
This is an approved project, and normally when we've got a capital project that's approved, we usually have a project manager, and we proceed, and the manager proceeds to implement the project per the budget. And I would still like us to be able to do that since it was approved. I appreciate Joe's point that things are going pretty well down there. People have been generally respecting the no vehicle things and using the bigger parking area and so forth. The signs, of course, are almost trivial in cost to put up. Some of the other things that we would do, actually, there's a pretty good component of volunteer labor, and the artists are doing would do the designs for some of the remaining items. But there was one point that both Julie and Kathy brought up for me that kind of hit home, and that is that we did take away the vehicle access to the west side, and there continue to be people that miss that access, and we've told them we're going to continue to work on improving the route down there, make it easier for people with wheelchair to make it down to the bench and to the fire pit. And I still feel that we owe some priority to do that to those people that so that this park can be a park that has something in it for everybody. And so I would like to proceed with, which I can do, of course, at no cost, to develop a scoping document for that, with the idea that we may be able to provide that amenity before too long to provide some satisfaction for the people who felt they lost something on that side. Thanks.
Susan, do you have something?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quite frankly, I'm getting tired, and I would support getting the signs put up immediately, but it seems to me the council needs to have another work session to work out the details of what we want to do next at the beach. I'm not prepared to say, oh yeah, go ahead, do everything. But I would definitely support getting the signs posted as soon as possible. Thank you.
Well, again, this is council comment, so we're not giving direction. I mean, this is council comment. We haven't, this is not a discussion or a time for debate. So, you know, Mike's just going to have to work through a work session or what have you to get anything more than what's there, I guess. Signs are fine. We'll work on some signage and things like that. But we're not in the right place to be discussing this right now. And I wanted, before 10 o'clock, I wanted to talk about this thing with DHSS that people are really concerned about and want to know what's going on. So if that's okay, before 10. Anyway, Travis can chime in on this because I've been working with Travis on this, but early last week, I basically took an email that Mike sent to me about the 14-day quarantines and, you know, that idea of instituting more restrictive measures than the state system. Sent that email on to Travis's contact at DHSS. We got word back on Wednesday, I believe, that the Department of Law was working on a response because there's a bunch of communities that were asking the same questions we are. They expected a response by the end of last week. We haven't heard anything as of today. I'm having problems. I've been out running around doing things all day, and I had a hard time connecting up with Travis today. But first thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to be working with Travis on and trying to shake something loose with DHSS on that additional restriction stuff. So that's first on my agenda tomorrow morning with Travis. Any other? I see.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I think there's some confusion. When I asked for the communications that you'd had with DHSS, you sent me the communications that Travis has been having with Tom Koloski with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. The DHSS component was in state health mandate 18, and the guidance is that we're to talk with Commissioner Crum Dr. Zink has also offered her support. She's also with DHSS. So perhaps the confusion is that we haven't been contacting the correct State Department. And I'm happy to give Travis a call and talk to him about locating someone at DHSS to contact regarding our question about the quarantine.
Shelley, I've already been talking with Travis.
Mr. Mayor, with all due respect, I first raised this issue June 15th. It's been an entire month now, and nothing has happened, and people have got a lot of concerns. I've got a lot of concerns. And since I was one of the liaison people that the council agreed to go forward, I think I'm more than happy and have a great interest in pursuing this at this time.
Okay, Karen informs me that I need to have a motion to suspend the rules to go beyond 10 o'clock. Is there a member?
Mr. Mayor, I move to suspend the rules. Mr. Mayor, this is Taylor. I move to suspend the rules to go beyond 10 o'clock to finish our agenda.
Seconded by Warner.
Moved by Taylor, seconded by Warner to suspend the rules to go beyond 10 o'clock. Roll call vote, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
No.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Cassapit?
No.
Councilmember Clark?
Yes.
Councilmember Warner?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Cannamore?
No.
Okay, motion passes 4 in favor, 3 and not.
Okay, so we're continuing. Any other council comments? Okay, any other, we're on item number 12, City Council questions and comments. Any other additional council questions or comments? Okay, any additional, okay, I'm now on to item 13. Susan, go.
Well, should we see if we can get Shelley's concern addressed? I mean, why are we not saying that she should go forward with contacting DHSS with the question about 14-day quarantine?
Travis and I are doing that already.
Did she not say that you weren't talking to the DHSS, you were talking to somebody else?
Travis, did you have something?
Yes, thank you. What I can do is add is that I took the section of questions that Mike and everybody came up with, those three lines there. And I forward those on to my contact at DHS, Tom Koloski, as you guys know. He forwarded those on to multiple different people. And the main purpose of the questions that were asked were, can you please give us guidance on anything that you see that is over the top or anything that we can do to fine tune this? And who do we need to, who is the correct person to pass all of this information on to? The response that we got back was, like Cal said, lots of communities are asking these questions. We are writing guidance on how to do this effectively within the state. The Attorney General's office is doing that, I believe. So that's what we've gotten back so far. Cal, like he said, he did reach out to me and we are in our contacts today. We're just going to write another letter is what we were talked about. And forward that off to every contact that we need to. That'll give us more than what we got from that first set of guidance. So we're taking that next route. That I can tell you that email did reach like Coleman Cutchinson and some of the other DHS people that would be reviewing these things as well. But they are busy working with the school, reopening the schools right now. Those are lots of the things I'm hearing in my meeting. So like Kyle said, we'll be on it tomorrow and we'll get it out all to the right people.
Susan?
And are you including Shelley in all of these letter writing and phone calls? I believe the council appointed Shelley and the mayor to move forward with approaching DHSS. Has she been included in all of this?
The emails that I sent out to my contact were before this was part of it, I believe. I don't have that exact date on me, but I can forward her that information.
I forwarded Shelley the email trail that I had from that I sent on to Travis and then what I got back.
Yeah, this is Shelley. I'm sorry to kind of step in, but I've lost Zoom again. Yes, I received the email chain because I asked Cal to forward me what he had sent to DHSS. I'm not sure why Travis is saying that Tom Koloski is with DHSS. He's with the DMVA. So unless that's a subdivision of DHSS, I don't know why we're not going to the commissioner or to Dr. Zink at DHSS.
Okay, we're going to move on to number 13, public comment on non-agenda. Tom Williams, I saw you put your hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to offer some clarity. I'm reading Tom Koloski's bio, and it says that he's currently working for the state of Alaska, DHS, and EM on the resiliency planning team. So. I just thought I'd offer that information to try to clarify the contact.
Okay, I am on item 13, public comment on non-agenda items. Is there any members of the public who want to comment on non-agenda? Public comment on non-agenda items. Any of the members of the public want to comment on non-agenda items? There'll be no executive session. We are at an adjournment. Are there any objections for adjourning this meeting? Hearing no objections, this meeting is adjourned. It is 10:06 p.m. Thank you very much.